and thank you for listening and for choosing The Voice of America.
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on The Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 22nd edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with Olympic news. We're now 92 days away to the opening ceremony of the Tokyo Games in Japan. As I mentioned on Wednesday's show, the Olympic men's and women's football tournaments will kick off before the opening ceremony. The 12-team women's event begins on July 21st, and the 16-team men's tournament starts on July 22nd. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach comments.
When on 23rd of July this year, the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 get finally underway, they will send a powerful message of solidarity, resilience, and peace to the world. And today's draw of the Olympic football tournament is another important step on this road to Tokyo. These Olympic Games Tokyo 2020 will be the light at the end of the dark tunnel we are all still in these very difficult moments. And there, the Olympic football tournament begins even before the opening ceremony. So football will send the very first light at the end of this tunnel to the Japanese people and to all the billions of fans around the world.
With Olympic football shining the light in that dark tunnel, let's review the groupings for the men's and women's tournaments. Ladies first. And here's the FIFA host in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Let me recap the groups and the path to glory for our 12 participating teams. In Group E, playing in Sapporo, will be Japan, Canada, Great Britain, and Chile. Group F, playing in the Miyagi Stadium in Miyagi, will be China, Brazil, Zambia, and the Netherlands. And in Group G, playing in Tokyo Stadium, we have Sweden, our current world champions, USA, Australia, and New Zealand.
New Zealand will also feature in the men's Olympic football tournament, which also includes three African teams, South Africa, Egypt, and Ivory Coast. Here is the FIFA host for the men's draw in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Let me very briefly recap the completed groups for all of you. So we have in Group A, which is going to be played in Tokyo Stadium, we have Japan, South Africa, Mexico, and France. In Group B, that will be played in the Ibaraki Kashima Stadium, we have New Zealand, Korea Republic, Honduras, and Romania. In Group C, which will be placed in the Sapporo Dome, we will have Egypt, Spain, Argentina, and Australia. Finally, in Group D, which is being played in the International Stadium of Yokohama, we would have Brazil, Germany, Côte d'Ivoire, and Saudi Arabia.
We just heard how the Brazilians and the Germans will be playing their group matches at the International Stadium in Yokohama, Japan. 19 years ago, I was at that same stadium in Yokohama where I reported for the Voice of America on Brazil beating Germany 2-0 to lift the FIFA World Cup. And the teams also share more recent Olympic football history. In 2016, playing on home soil in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil beat Germany on penalty kicks to win the gold medal in Olympic men's football. Meanwhile, IOC President Thomas Bach gives high marks to Tokyo for its Olympic preparations as the city tries to contain a surge in coronavirus cases ahead of the Games.
Tokyo continues to be the best prepared Olympic city ever. And this was underlined by the information we got from the organizing committee and from the coordination commission, which are closely cooperating and at full speed to prepare these games, which are approaching very, very fast. This state of emergency, which may be decided upon by the government, is in order to, or is restricted to your golden week, to your holiday week, to prevent the spread of the virus. And is in particular, you know, limited, it's a preventive measure, and for this limited time.
IOC President Thomas Bach adds that there have been big sporting events held during the pandemic, and in his words, none of these events has been a virus spreader. Bach says the Tokyo Olympics will also have the benefit of the coronavirus vaccine for athletes and officials. Meanwhile, Olympic officials are still weighing several key decisions ahead of the Tokyo Games. They already have barred foreign visitors from attending the Olympics. Organizers say they might not decide until June whether they will allow spectators at all. A new set of safety protocols for athletes and other stakeholders is expected to be announced next week.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with Olympic news from Uganda and South Africa.
The first batch of Ugandan athletes to the Tokyo Olympic Games are expected to arrive at their Izumo Seano camp in Japan in May. For now, Team Uganda has so far confirmed 23 athletes to the games. These include 19 track athletes, 3 boxers, and 1 rower. Uganda Minister for Sports Samson Obua believes the East African country has what it takes to add to the tally of qualified athletes with barely 2 months left to the closure of the qualifying window for the Tokyo Olympics.
We continue to participate in the lined up championship that are meant for qualification for Olympics. You are aware that in the post-independence history of Uganda, we are going to register the highest number of athletes in this year's Olympic. A number of our athletes, especially under Uganda Athletics Federation, are training at Kapchorwa, both for the mainstream Olympics and the Paralympics. And I believe if I get an opportunity, I will also be able to interface with them.
And still staying with African delegations to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, South African Olympic Committee has been given details of the uniqueness and participation guidelines for athletes who will be participating at the Games. Beside the uncertainty around vaccinations and fluctuating COVID-19 infections worldwide, South Africa will be sending a delegation to the Tokyo Olympic Games in less than 100 days' time. Dr. Patukule Zondi, Team South Africa Chief Medical Officer, explained that there will be no shouting and hugging to celebrate wins, while testing for COVID-19 every 4 days are part of the protocols that will be enforced during the games.
And this is going to be an interesting one, specifically for African countries that like to celebrate. So one of the guidelines that have been put into place is they are going to discourage shouting and singing to encourage our athletes as they participate, but rather encourage us to just clap And it makes sense in terms of obviously limiting respiratory spread of droplets. These will not be a games as usual. One of the key things about the games and the excitement about the games is really the level of interaction between athletes, not only within your own country, but also with other countries. That becomes a really critical experience or core experience of past games. You have to comply with principles, which include only being able to travel to IOC designated places, which are, in the case of athletes, the Olympic Village, the training venue, and competition venue. So there will be no touring, there will be no traveling, there will be no going to restaurants, there will be no, you know, Olympic houses like we are used to them. And that's quite significant. Even within the village, there will be restrictions where before, you know, it's a vibrant, active space, there's a lot that's going on that athletes are engaging and interacting with. This is going to be very different because obviously we need to be sure that we limit the risk of infection between athletes.
Ahead of the games, South Africa under 23 coach David Nyatoni has announced his squad that will represent the country at the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo. The coach assured South Africans that they are making all the necessary adjustments to adhere to all the COVID-19 protocols while staying focused on their preparation now that it's certain that the Olympic Games will go ahead.
Having announced that squad of 78, that a lot of people thought is too big, but we're necessarily saying that this is how wide our pool is that is available for the Olympics. Ideally, we wanted to have international competition. We had invitations to go play countries like Australia, in Qatar. Of course, we wanted to take advantage because then Qatar was open. But behind the scenes, we're also aware that that was a possibility, and we put together a tour in Eteguini. Then we opted to play two friendly matches with our professional teams. It's a very difficult one, but it's the work that is before us, and we continue to assess and monitor these players at their clubs, and we look forward to the June camp especially, where we think that would be 80% there in terms of our final squad composition, so that when we come to the Olympic preparation camp, we are as close as possible to the final squad.
That's David Nyatoni, the head coach of South Africa's national under-23 football team. South Africa, Ivory Coast, and Egypt will represent Africa in the men's Olympic football tournament in Japan. And thanks to Samson Omale for that Olympic package. Let's take a quick look now at the opening Olympic football matches for the three African teams. South Africa will play host Japan on July 22nd in Tokyo. Ivory Coast will play Saudi Arabia, also on July 22nd in Yokohama. And Egypt is matched against Spain on July 22nd in Sapporo. Sapporo, by the way, is also where the men's and women's Olympic marathon races will be held.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up!
Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika. In more Olympic news, the first Iranian woman to win a medal at the Olympics is now hoping to compete for the Olympic refugee team in Tokyo. VOA's Gwen Uten has more details for us. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Kimia Alizadeh became Iran's first female Olympic medalist in 2016 when she won bronze in Taekwondo at the Rio Games. And she may have a chance to medal again at the upcoming Tokyo Games, but this time she will compete under the white flag of the Olympic refugee team. In January 2020, Alizadeh announced on social media that she was fleeing her home country because she no longer wanted to be part of, quote, hypocrisy, lies, injustice, and flattery. She spoke to Reuters News from her training camp and said, despite making history as Iran's only female Olympic medalist, she needed to make a fresh start in a new country.
In Iran, I was the first athlete, first woman in Taekwondo. I got a bronze medal in World Championships and bronze medal in Olympic Games. And I said with myself, so I can do different thing that nobody can do this. And I think it was my motivation. Taekwondo changed my life, you know, because after Olympics, after World Championships, when I got a medal, I was the first athlete in Iran. And after that, all the people know me, and, you know, that was hard.
Alizadeh had several offers to compete for the Netherlands, Canada, Belgium, and Bulgaria, but the 22-year-old chose to settle in Germany, where she has been granted refugee status to compete on the Olympic refugee team this summer. She is now training for the European Taekwondo Championship to qualify for a ticket to Tokyo. And Alizadeh says training has come easier now that she has a flag to compete under at the upcoming games.
You know, when your mind is calm and nothing in your mind, you can training very better. You can focus on your competitions, focus your training. And yes, now everything is okay. And I can. The important thing is I can have my personal life and my sport life together. And it's an important point. Yeah.
As Germany's third refugee athlete, Alizadeh will be selected in June from a group of 55 athletes in 12 sports. This year's Olympic refugee team will be featured in a second consecutive Summer Games. The team was created less than a year before the Rio Olympics in 2016. And at a news conference 4 years ago, IOC President Thomas Bach said he hoped the team's inclusion would send a message of hope to millions of refugees around the world.
These refugee athletes have no national team to belong to. They have no flag to march behind. They have no national anthem to be played. Therefore, we will welcome these refugee athletes to the Olympic Games with the Olympic flag and with the Olympic anthem. They will have a home together with all the other 11,000 athletes from 206 National Olympic Committees in the Olympic Village.
The first refugee team to compete in Rio was a squad of 10 athletes with 8 members from Africa. The team was led by Tegla Larupi of Kenya, a former marathon world record holder who acted as peace ambassador. Rose Loko Nien of South Sudan served as the flag bearer in the opening ceremony that year. And Popo Masenga of the Democratic Republic of Congo was chosen to carry the flag at the closing ceremony. In 2019, Thomas Bach announced that the initial 10-member squad had grown to 37 refugee athletes who would attempt to make the final cut for the Tokyo 2020 Olympic Games. Athletes from Cameroon, the DRC, Eritrea, Ethiopia, Sudan, and South Sudan are included in that group. And that is all from me, Sunny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm telling the parents out there and the girls who are interested in boxing that please, parents, support your daughters in any sport, anything they would like, so that you do be the first, you do help them with the first blessing for the game. And the girls out there, please be disciplined and fear God first, because in fearing God, there is where you get the knowledge of everything and the blessings. And please be authentic to yourself, believe in yourself, and always keep in mind that everything is possible.
Hi, I'm Kim Lewis. Join me and a panel of journalists as we discuss the top stories of the week, including U.S. President Joe Biden invites world leaders to a virtual summit on climate change as Earth Day is celebrated internationally. Biden hopes to reach deals with some of the world's largest greenhouse gas emitters. Don't miss Issues in the News this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Squatty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, five-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
In African athletics, two Malawian sprinters recently set national records at a meet in neighboring Zambia. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Lamech Messina tells us more from Blantyre, Malawi. Sporty greetings, Lamech.
Sporty greetings from Malawi, Sunny. Indeed, the two athletes, Stan Lifa and Asmenye Smwaka, broke the records after getting bronze medals at the All Corners Track and Field event at Heroes Stadium in Lusaka, Zambia. Results from the Athletics Association of Malawi show that Lifa won bronze medal in 100 meters after clocking 10.36 seconds, booking himself a ticket for the Senior Africa Championship slated for June in Algeria, while Asmenye qualified in 400 meters for the Algiers event after clocking 52.59 seconds. Nzemakawa is acting general secretary for Athletics Association of Malawi. He says the achievement is a double win for the country.
One, they have qualified for African Championship in Algeria. The games will take place from 1st June to 5th June. Secondly, they have broken the Malawi records. For example, Asmenye Simaka, she has broken a record which has been there since 2012. And Stan Lifa has also broken his own record, which is also a Malawian record.
Lifa's previous record was 10.58 seconds, while Asmenye broke the national record of 54.32 seconds set by Ambwene Simkonda at Olympic Games held in London in 2012. Malawi athletics official Nzemakawa credits additional resources with supporting the record-setting efforts.
There are many things. First of all, maybe the athletes themselves, they cannot work hard. And secondly, resources. We didn't have enough resources to put the athletes in camp. But this time, Malawi Olympic Committee assisted us because the athletes have been in camp since December.
Athlete Lifa agrees.
Yeah, this is really true. For example, this is my first time to be in a camp where I have been doing intensive training.
And he, however, says the achievement has motivated him to work extra hard.
I'm just looking for sponsorship like the others do, like the great sprinters. They are not sponsored. They are under-sponsored. They can come through Malawi Olympic Committee, then they can find me so that I can be fully sponsored to concentrate on my work I'm doing now.
On her achievement, Asmenye Simwaka, who is also the striker for Malawi National Women's Football Team, said she's excited.
I feel very well. I feel very nice because this is the first time to qualify at the World Championship.
And she says she's looking to become the first Malawi's female athlete to qualify for the Olympic Games.
I'm prepared. I will put God first and I will do it.
Pajis Nyasulu is the coach who helped the athletes turn tables in Zambia.
I'm someone who has experienced so many sporting disciplines. We talk of athletics itself, football, rugby, swimming. So I took some of the sciences of the different sporting disciplines as well to put them, to make these athletes as strong as possible, but also being able to have speed. And together, honestly, we are seeing results that have never been there before.
The athletes have been in camp with support from Malawi Olympic Committee. To appreciate their achievement, the committee has rewarded the athletes and the coach with about $270 each. President of the Malawi Olympic Committee, Japi Muhango, says they are not stopping here.
Going forward as an Olympic committee, we will not let these young men and women go. We'll continue keeping them in camp because there are other events coming ahead of us. There will be a competition in Botswana where we want these athletes to go and also compete. And then finally, they will travel to Algeria to compete in the main event. So we'll continue keeping them in camp to ensure that they are thoroughly prepared for the upcoming events.
In the meantime, Muhango said the committee has approached the Ministry of Youth and Sports to book the athletes and audience with Malawi's president, Lazarus Chakwera. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Lamek Masina in Blantyre, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamek. In African golf, the Ivory Coast Open Tournament teed off on Thursday. For more details, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of African Tour Golf Foundation, Harris Okata.
The name of the tournament is Ivory Coast Open. Just like you have the U.S. Open, just like the British Open. Ivory Coast Open is an annual event which they host every year for a long time. Yes, we have so many Nigerian players who are already right as I speak in the Yamoussoukro Ivory Coast. The tournament kicks off the 21st for the pros and finishes on the 24th, and amateurs play on the 25th. Yes, like I said, it's an annual tournament. The Nigerian team is a strong team that normally most of the guys that travel play go there regularly on every year. It has a field of so many other countries. I think there are Kenyans, Zimbabweans, Nigerians, Ghanaians, Ivorians, Senegalese. It's an open that attracts a lot of players from the entire place.
What are the chances of Nigerian golf players in the tournament?
The chances of Nigerian golf players playing the tournament is, as you can know, Nigeria has a great number of population. And in everything, we tend to have more entries. I believe there's quite a lot of entries in Nigeria. I believe we have a strong possibility of winning the tournament, even though that there are good other quality players coming from other countries. But we can wait and see as the day goes by. I will keep on updating you on the day-to-day result of the tournament. And hopefully we pray that the Nigerian emerge as the winner of the tournament. You know, there's not quite a lot of events for players in this part of the world at the moment because COVID-19 has, like I said regularly, has taken a lot of toll in the sponsorship of golf tournament. So most players, once they see a window of opportunity of any event that has a bit of a prize money, they are willing to travel to come and play this event. So Ivory Coast Open for them is something they look up to every year, and they prepare so much about it. Luckily, it's slightly different from the Kenyan Open because the Kenyan Open now is a pure European Tour event where you have European Tour players dominate all the field. But Ivory Coast Open is more like the Africans, the black, majority of the black boys who play in East, West, and Central Africa. They're going to be there competing. So it's quite a big opportunity for them. African Tour is participating. It's an event with sanction, and we are going to be there live, and our players are going to play, and we wish and pray that one of our players win the tournament. But the key thing is not only about winning. Participation is key as well. Being invited is key. So, and this is how it goes, you know, giving the players opportunity to become part of it and practice and compete among their peers. And it brings out the best in you. And that's the beauty of our golf tournament. It's not just like football, where a team that is always good wins. But in golf, the best players or the people who you think have a good game might come that week, they're not anywhere to be seen. So the surprises always come out in golf on every tournament. So I believe strongly that we're there in Yamoussoukro and we see the best out of it.
That's Harris Okata, the president of African Tour Golf Foundation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria. And that wraps up the April 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of